You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Packers Total Access post-game show, the very first one. So I can promise you this, this is going to be a bit of a clown show by the end of the night, okay? This is our first time going live for a post-game show, and I got my buddy Jacob here. My name is Clayton Bailey. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Obviously, the Packers and the Niners just wrapped up, first preseason game of the year. Niners come out on top 28-21. Jacob, initial impressions, man. What'd you think of the game? I know there were some ups and downs, and I think we would both agree that it's kind of surprising that the score was a little bit closer than it was. It felt like a blowout, did it not?
Yeah, man, it did. To be honest, when I entered this game, I thought maybe like we'd hang in there for the first series and then basically fall off of that, and we kind of did that, but more or less we stayed in the game for pretty much the whole game, honestly, until the last, half of the fourth quarter. We were still in there ready to, strike while the iron was hot kind of thing. And it's just, we did better. I will say that we did better than I thought we would, and I'm pleasantly surprised. I will say there's definitely some things that we need to work on, but coming out of this game healthy mostly, I think that's a win right there.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. Anytime you have a preseason game, especially that first one, it's just kind of a crapshoot. You're like you said, you're looking to get out of there healthy, but you're also, I kind of feel like it's not talked about enough that in most cases they're trying to get that first cut ready, right? They're trying to get, we've got to cut down to what 80 players on August the 23rd. So, they're looking to, let's get those guys the most playing time possible so we can trim this roster down and then get into the next phase of the install and all that. So I think a lot of that comes into play. But at the same time, man, we've seen some good things. And early on, it did not take long at all for Romeo Doubs to show up, right? And bro, I'm telling you, man, it's and don't get me wrong, he wasn't perfect. He did several things. He made mistakes in the game. But his route running ability, there's just something about it. I don't know if it's a quick twitch or what, but the guy can just get open. And actually, matter of fact, we have this very first touchdown here. Let's play this clip real quick, see if the listeners can hear this.
They're going to go for it on fourth down, T-Rock. Fourth down and three for the Packers here. They go empty again. Two right and three left. 49ers bring pressure. Two inside backers come down the sideline. Romeo Doubs, a touchdown. 49ers had no one in the deep middle there as they brought Oren Burks and Demetrius Flanagan fouls.
Love it, man. And the thing you noticed on that play, Jacob, for me was, it was zero coverage, right? There was no safeties on the shelf. And the defender was playing inside technique. So he was kind of taking that inside route, whether it's a dig or a slant, taking that away. Doubs recognized it right off the bat. I'm sure Love was on the same page, obviously. Just a quick stutter step, good release. You've seen that all camp long with Romeo Doubs. There's something about his release. And in no way, shape, or form am I going to compare him to Davante Adams, okay? But it's kind of got that feel to it. Tay had that quick twitch, quick feet off the right off the line, and Doubs tends to show that. Now, on the negative side, the drop passes kind of showed up tonight too, right? But it's a young receiver. We talked about this on Ryan's live stream on how, You know, Tay was the same way for the first two, even 3 years, right? Being in the league, he had those drops, and you made a joke that you have friends saying they need to cut him, right? And I heard the same type of thing, you know. But what did you think of Dobbs, man, just initially? Am I the only person that's like, holy cow, every time this kid's on the field, he's showing up?
No, I mean, obviously he has been amazing in camp. And so what you want to see is him progress and take that step into actual live playing. And I think tonight he did. You know, like you said, it's a little bit, he's got 7 targets. He's got 3 receptions for 45 yards, but some of those receptions, like you said, the one where he drops it, where it's in his breadbasket from 5 yards out, you're like, oh man, here we go. But then the next play, literally the next play, he's going on a slant route and he catches it basically like against his helmet in traffic, contested. He obviously had the touchdown route where he can, like you said, he breaks off the line like it's very easy. And you said you don't want to compare him to Devontae, but Devontae, like you said, had a couple early years in the league where he came from a semi, where did Devontae come from? Not necessarily the school that you would think would be, okay, that's a huge school. Dobbs coming from Nevada, he was a big deep threat. I still think that he has a lot of those capabilities, and you could see that touchdown he grabbed, you know, he's looking for the ball, he's reaching over his shoulder, he's doing all these things, and then he just boneheads a couple of plays where he drops it where it's right in his breadbasket, and apparently that's his MO. So that being said, he looked great in positions where he looked great. Juwan Winfrey, my guy, didn't necessarily wow anybody, but I mean, he had 3 targets, 3 receptions, 27 yards. I'm just saying. Danny Davis looked actually really great.
Danny Dobbs.
Again, he's a dark horse to even make the practice squad, but he had 2 receptions for 45 yards. I could not believe this, that BJ Baylor had 2 receptions for 75 yards.
Yeah.
2 targets.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it did not register with me, but it just, you know, once you see it on paper, it's a little bit awe-inspiring there.
Yeah, he had that huge play there too on the wheel route, right? And you know,
I believe it was like a 68 yard. Yeah,
right. And I'll tell you, you know, that was, I believe it was Danny Etling that just dropped it right in the basket. I mean, that was what a beautiful throw, what a beautiful catch, and it's kind of what Ryan was talking about. He, you know, Baylor tends to show up in the passing game, whether it's pass blocking or catching the ball out of the backfield. And one thing that comes out of that side of the ball and that position specifically, I'm pretty sure Taylor's played himself off the team. I mean, it kind of feels that way. Do you agree?
I do, man. The few times so number one, we didn't see him in there that many times. I mean, Goodson basically ran the first half, right? And so the fact that after that you saw Taylor for like a couple plays, and the plays that he was in, like we talked about, the guy runs like he's got something, you know, like a 2x4 taped to his spine or something. Like, you need to lower your head, bro. Like, you got to get in there. And he used to be, you know, a very, very well-rounded back. And I think that it was obvious that the Packers thought that of him because of the way that they showed him on the depth chart. The fact that he's getting second round reps or second team reps to Goodson, and then they didn't even keep him in there very long. And like you said, I think he played himself out because I think they did back-to-back slant passes to the guy where he just had to make a very basic catch, maybe fall forward for like 2 or 3 yards. And that's kind of what the Packers' MO. You think about what Aaron Jones does, what Dylan does. If it's 2nd and 3, we throw a flat pass out, they just fall forward. You get the first down, right? That's a very staple part of our offense. He showed that he cannot do that. So I don't see him, like you said, making this team. I mean, I think he played himself out. Dexter Williams, though. Man, I mean, honestly, for a guy that doesn't have any business to be running on the field, he was pretty much our best. I mean, Goodson had 12 carries for 37 yards, only averaged 3.1. He had a long of 7. Dexter Williams comes in with 3 carries, 20 yards rushing, 9.7 average, and I mean, a long of 26. That's, I'm not going to say that's nothing to shake a stick at, you know?
Right. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, the thing that really, really stood out to me too, Goodson just being very shifty, you know. I mean,
shiftier than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, he just seems like he's got that third spot right now, you know, obviously with Kylin Hill you know, still being out. So we got Pac Daddy trying to join here. Let's see if we can get him in. I think he's ready. We'll see. may have connection issues. Anyway, so yeah, Goodson kind of stood out to me when he was in the game. He got quite a bit of snaps too. You know, looked good, looked shifty. Jordan Love was he was hot or cold, right? I mean, he made a couple of throws there that were just spot on. One of which Dobbs, you know, did kind of screw up. There on the deep route, kind of got almost like he got locked up at the top of the route. But at the same time, man, they went to Dobbs early and often. So, Jordan Love, to me, he looked accurate at times. And there was the one play, the one pick there on the slant attempt to Amari Rodgers. And we talked about this on the live stream. And, you know, the thing that stood out to me was the pre-snap read there. You could see it. And it's easy for me to say watching the replay and rewinding it and all that. But you could just tell it was man coverage. And the guy who was lined up on Amari Rodgers was playing inside technique. So he's playing inside shade. And it was just like Jordan didn't even recognize it. Jordan just dropped back. He knew where he was going with the ball. He didn't care that the pre-snap read would have suggested he go, you know, somewhere else. And it was disastrous, you know. So, again, there was some push in the pocket. But Jordan just went out there and kind of let it wing, you know. And you take the good with the bad, man. This is the time to see what you got.
It's just funny because every year I feel like we go through this. Last year we went through it with Kirk Bankert. We've been through it with a number of other third string quarterbacks where the second string quarterback goes in there against sometimes first string defense, sometimes against those tweener guys, right? And doesn't necessarily perform. And then Etling, so let's compare Jordan Love. 13 for 24, 176 yards, 7.3 average, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's a rating of 66.0. Then you got Danny Etling coming in at the last, well, I shouldn't say the last minute, but the last, you know, playing with the scrubs. He's 6 for 8. He's 123 yards, 15.4 average, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. He's only got 1 sack. He's 156.3 rating. And so you say, well, then obviously you got to start Etling. That's the better quarterback. No, man, he's just not going against that tier of competition that necessarily Love is. And I'm not giving Love an out. I think that throwing 3 interceptions is trash. 2 of them, I would argue, are not his fault. The 3rd one, I definitely know is his fault. And I don't know. I liked what I saw out of Love, to be honest with you. When I saw him in the first 2 drives, I was like, that's a guy that's poised. He seems calm. He seems like he's doing his reads. He seems like he's doing his footwork right. And then again, this is where the Love haters can come right in and be like, exactly what we told you. He'll fold when the situation needs him to not fold. He'll throw picks. He'll force balls. Ryan, where are you? That's what she said would come in. But anyways, it's the typical Jordan Love game. I honestly feel like we have nothing more to learn from Jordan Love. We have not learned anything more than we do or don't know. He did exactly what we thought would happen. He played okay, and then we had a question mark, which is his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up, and we were all excited to see what he would do tonight.
Podcast just said that's what she said.
Exactly.
Oh man.
He kind of played exactly how we've come to to see him play.
One step forward, 2 steps back.
Yeah. And you got to take into consideration, though, to me, he looked better in that first quarter when when Dobbs was in and there was, a little bit better talent around him. But we've never seen Jordan Love other than one time against Kansas City, right? We've never seen Jordan Love play with a healthy bunch of number ones around him.
He almost won that game.
Absolutely. So
he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in that game, by the way.
Yeah, very, very, very true. And, the thing that really stands out to me about Jordan Love and that whole situation with the draft pick and everything, like Greg Cosell says, there's 2 drafts every year. There's a quarterback draft, and then there's every other position that's drafted, right? And it's obvious that Jordan Love was on that top tier of quarterbacks for the Packers, and that's why they drafted him. And the other thing you got to take into consideration is the money that was saved, the money that's continuing to be saved with him being your backup. That's about as cheap a backup as you can find. I mean, when you really look across the league, there's a lot of teams that are paying anywhere from, 6 to 8 to $12 million for a backup. right? So there's a little bit of value there too. And again, it's early, man. I want to see him with the number ones, and I want to, you know, you can't really judge what he is until you get a consistent or a good saturation of games, you know, with him with number ones around him. But Levitt got burned, right? That was pretty ugly. So that was the note. What's that?
I said, I think a couple times.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. Rico Gafford got turned around there on one route. He was in man coverage, and it looked absolutely horrible. Tyler Davis with the drop that led to the pick. You know, you're going to look at the stat line with Jordan Love, and it looks really bad. But in all honesty, it's not as bad as the stats would suggest. You know, you had, like I said, Tyler Davis with that drop pick. And, you know, first thing that that Ryan said was, why do people love this guy so much? Right.
I said that. Ryan just was silent because he always thinks that.
Was it true?
Yeah, dude, he had two targets, 0 yards, one interception, 6 points for the other team, basically. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so Tyler Davis kind of went down a notch. But, you know, like we were talking about, who's going to play that Tonyan role out of the tight end room other than Davis? I mean, you got Mac and Canella.
Maybe DeGuara. I think maybe DeGuara is, they try to make him not a halfback kind of guy, maybe more of a, I think he could do it. You know, you saw that. Remember when he took that short pass in Detroit and ran it for like 70 yards? Like, you can see glimpses of him doing that stuff. It's just.
Yeah, absolutely. And DeGuara had a couple of catches there. It looked like Jordan was going to him there on one drive. So he didn't necessarily look bad. And, then you had Love to Danny Davis. Danny Davis kind of shined a little bit, didn't he? Not as if he has a chance to make this roster, but he's definitely fighting for that practice squad spot.
Two targets, and, two catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown, man.
Had a tud. Come on.
How do you go better than that, you know?
Yeah, again, you're not going to obviously keep him over a Winfrey or a Torre or whoever makes the bottom of that receiver room on the active roster. But, again, you put him on the practice squad, you know, who knows what he might turn into here in a couple of years. You're kind of splitting hairs at that point. You know, like we said, halfback Taylor kind of playing himself off the roster the way it seems right now. There's a whole lot of ball left. I'm not saying he'll be a part of that initial cut down, but there's also a good chance of it. One of the big names that stood out to me, though, Jacob, was Jack Heflin. Jack Heflin had a pretty good game, man.
Trash can full of dirt.
I'm telling you, dude, it's catching on, bro. It's catching on. It was all over Twitter, too. You know, he was in the backfield. He was disruptive, and he's just one of those guys that won't go away, you know, and he's a big body. He's got some quickness. I think it was Coach Hahn was talking about his hands on the mm-hmm. – yeah. Coach Hahn was like, look at the size of this guy's hand. He's just a corn-fed. Did you say he was from Iowa?
He's an Iowa boy, pretty sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he should be named Jethro, that's for sure, man.
He was the T.J. Slayton of that draft where I was like, Heflin's going to be the man. And Slayton's getting the man this week or this year. It's Wyatt's going to be the man. So
yeah,
they're all the man.
I'll tell you somebody else who showed up tonight, and it'll probably go a little more unnoticed than it would if Love hadn't had, you know, such a bad game. But Amari Rodgers, the 50-yard kickoff return, right? That was a kickoff return.
Just caught one more ball. I could have made $50 tonight, guys.
And that's top priority on this show, guys, are the gambling habits, all right? It's week
right.
You got to pay the bills. You know what I'm saying?
Pay the piper.
That's right. But you had that big special teams play by him, but then also you had a quick little bubble screen that he took to the house. And let's listen to that real quick as I try to key this up, Jacob. Let's see if we can get this audio to play for the listeners. It's just so nice to see Amari Rodgers kind of show up tonight. And again, it happened in the first preseason game. Let's see if he can put it together all season long. But you can kind of tell on this play, this is what he's good at. And you see him try to do this last year when Amari was in the game. It just never really came together, and he had very, very limited reps. But here's that touchdown play by Amari Rodgers.
Played really well, and they're giving him more snaps at safety. Quick throw out left to Amari Rodgers down the sideline. Hawkins trying to save the touchdown. Yes. They tied for the pylon there, and Green Bay has tied the game at 20.
Yeah, and again, it was just one of those plays where just a quick design, right? Everything was already prefab, and Amari stepped up. So what do you think about Amari Rodgers, man? You got one special teams play. You got the touchdown catch on the bubble screen, which that's kind of what he's in the offense to do. Yeah. Do you think Amari takes a step forward this year?
100%. I think he took a massive step forward in this game. Like you said, everyone was hating on Amari for muffing punts. Well, you know what? He was a rookie. You go try muff or taking a punt. You know what I mean? With 11 guys bearing down on you, first time you're in the NFL, see how that goes. I'm just saying, try that out and see what you have to do if you want to talk some smack. Tonight, like, he really was. I mean, he had two returns, 69 yards. He averaged 34.5. I mean, guys, that's better than we've ever had in Green Bay of all time. And he seems like he's picking up of what happened of last year. Remember, we all hated him for a few mistakes, but trending into the end of the season last year, this guy was decent. He was doing well, better than, like I said, other than Trevor Davis back in the day or some of those guys. He has some promise, and he seems like he's less afraid to field the ball. I think the Passaccia or all those guys are being like, you're going to have to grow up or you're going to get off this team kind of thing. You know what I mean? And so I think he's taken on that responsibility. It seems like he's more confident. He looks like he can handle the ball. He looks more like the receiver that we thought we were drafting a couple of years ago. And now his body is starting to fill what we think he can be. You know, he's got to put on that weight. He's got to learn how to be shifty. He's got to learn how to get off of blocks and how to shed, you know, coverage. I think he's doing it. I think he's from a great pedigree. I know that. So he's willing to work. And I think the coaches love him. And he talked about how Passaccia reamed him out over and over and over, and how he went back and he's like, do you think that, you know, blah, 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 he hates you? He goes, no, he loves me because he wants me to get better. And that's how I know this, because he keeps harping on me. If he didn't yell at me, then I'd be worried. And I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. You know, something Aaron Rodgers said about Josh Myers too. You know, he said, if I'm talking to you, if I'm screaming at you, it means I believe in you. You know, and I had coaches tell me the same thing when I was younger. And you know, when you're young and immature, when you're young and immature, you don't want to hear it. But when looking back, it's like, yeah, when they stop talking to you, they've given up on you. Right. So, you know, another thing here, Samori Toure, man, 3 catches, 42 yards. He was only targeted 4 times. This kid, man, it just seems like he can catch the football. He can create a little bit of space. I know Ryan, he seems like he's pretty dead set that Samori Toure is going to be a practice squad guy. And it does make sense, seeing that you could probably pass him on. I mean, obviously, I don't think there's another team that's willing to sign him and take up an active roster spot. But at the same time, he's had a pretty good camp, and he showed up there tonight with those 3 catches. Anything stand out to you about Samori Toure tonight?
I think he's had a great camp, and I would wonder, so if we throw him on practice squad, does the team have to do anything to sign them? Do they have to give up any sort of tender, any sort of draft pick? What is the stipulation with that?
Specifically meaning what?
If we throw Toure on our practice squad, other teams can sign him, correct?
Right.
Just willy-nilly? We don't have any recourse of that. We don't have any rebuttal. We have to just accept that.
Right, yeah. To the best of my knowledge, once you go to put a player on practice squad, they have to clear waivers. Once they clear waivers, they make it to the practice squad. Right. Well, in that waiver process, teams have an opportunity to sign that player, but they can't just sign him and put him on their practice squad. They have to go to their active roster. Yeah,
right.
I don't believe there's any draft picks involved in that, but that might be something we could double check on later.
No, I'm just wondering, like, if that's ever a situation where, let's say, Samori Toure is lighting it up, and our same situation at wide receiver is there, and say Dallas, because they've lost so many of their wide receivers, they want Samori Toure and they want him before the waiver wire. Is there any way that you could, like, do a trade or I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, like, weird ways that the Packers could benefit off of a guy that other teams want, that they know that they can't keep, but they don't just want to cut to the waiver wire. And I'm trying to figure out how they could.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for 5. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, it's a good question, but it's kind of unprecedented.
I don't know. Because I feel like that every team, when they're like, I hope we cut this guy. I hope our team stays the way it is. And I know that other players are sharked off of all the teams, a lot of the time. And so I don't know, man. Samari Torre seems like, I don't think he's such a lock that nobody else wants him, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at players or teams like Dallas, teams like the Chiefs, where have you read some of the stuff about MVS in camp?
No, it sounds horrible, Russ.
Sounds just like MVS. He's real fast, and every now and then he can catch a deep ball, but other than that, it's like, ugh. And then in Dallas, I mean, they lost a lot of guys, and Jerry Jones seems very adamant that they're not going to sign any veterans or any of that kind of stuff, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of offseason activity just because there's a lot of good guys out there, man. Danny Gray, you saw what Danny Gray did tonight, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that one of the fastest wide receivers in the league, in the draft. And they got him at a very, very discounted rate, I'd say, in the draft. And sure enough, he starts looking like he's almost their version of our Romeo Doubs. So,
yeah, for sure. Your boy Juwan Winfrey, 3 targets, 3 catches.
That's 100%, sir.
And I'll tell you the thing that I noticed about Juwan Winfrey. He looks like he belongs. He really does. And when you look at the depth chart there, it's going to come down to Torre and Winfrey. And right now, I see your all's point. Winfrey's probably the guy. He really is. That would probably be my pick. As of right now, for sure. Josiah DeGuara, 3 targets, had 2 catches. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. And the big name that stood out here, especially for a defensive lineman, was six total tackles, had 1 for a loss, Chris Slayton. I mean, that's kind of surprising there.
Not the Slayton we thought.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And we've got Slayton, outside of the roster cut down to 6. I don't see him carrying more than 6, and I just don't see Slayton making the team. But he really showed up. He's putting some film out there for other teams.
You want to know what? Let's talk about the top 7, okay? Chris Slayton, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyreek Carpenter, Kobe Jones, Jack Heflin, Keandre Thomas, and Dalen Levitt. And then followed by Kingsley and Barre.
I don't know, man. I think it's a nag bar, but I could be wrong.
I'm just telling you. And then after that is Tipa and Ty Summers. And granted, obviously, the
you had to love it, man. Right in the middle of the live broadcast with Pac Daddy, you could hear in the background Kevin Harlan call him Enigbare. and all you see, I immediately found Jacob on the screen. He just kind of gave me that side eye looking up.
I told you. That doesn't prove anything because we've literally heard him say it 2 different ways. So, I think that's interesting and I think that's encouraging. Chris Slayton, like you said, who? Isaiah McDuffie, Tyreek Carpenter, who I agree, Ryan, he's been kind of, MIA. In this camp, and I'd love to see him do more. Kobe Thomas, I've never seen, or I'm sorry, Keandre Thomas, Kobe Jones, Jack Heflin. I mean, he looks like he's very upset that he's not a lock to make this roster. And I think that's great. I like that.
Yeah.
Come on.
But back to Enigbare. I mean, 3 tackles, right?
Do you remember that one that he came around the edge?
Yeah. 1 sack, right? He had 1 sack. One tackle for a loss, and he had 2 quarterback hits. I mean, the guy showed up. Granted, He was playing in the second half, and he's going up against third stringers. But this is a fifth-round pick. And you know, I know Coach Hahn got really, really excited on the broadcast there when he seen that straight arm. He literally just hit him with a quick move, straight left arm, right underneath the chin, totally legal, put it, you know, just right above the sternum, and then took the edge, got the sack. Looked really good. But that's what he did well, right? It's going to come down to run defense for Kingsley. Yeah, and, you know, if he wants to have any kind of role, you know, he's got to become a pro at setting that edge and playing the run. What were you going to say, Jacob?
I was just going to say, I don't think he shows up in any way on the stat line, but I remember Garvin coming around the corner mm-hmm. and setting the edge on a field
early on, yeah.
Where he, you know, I think that the fact that he only was maybe given 10, 12 snaps or whatever it was, and that he seemed to show up there, I think that shows that, one, they like him and they don't want to have him overuse himself, and that, two, he has potential. So, and I don't know exactly what we were doing, because you can't tell me that they have Trey Lance, who's their number one quarterback going into the season, that they're going to put a second O-line behind him and all this. So, in my opinion, we had our second team defense going against their first team offense, pretty much minus maybe a few of the specialty players. And I thought we did pretty good, a lot better than I thought we would, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree, man. You know, as the game went on, it seemed like it got a little more comfortable. And I know some of the officiating got a little bit questioned. I don't understand why the officials are so, caught up in being seen in a preseason game. But it sure felt like that was the vibe for me, right? Now, Sean Ryan, go ahead.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is those guys seemed like they were very excited to see the camera.
Yes, exactly. Mom, look at me.
Hi, Ma. I was going to say, hi, Ma. I'm on TV now.
Now, you know, I think we would all agree Sean Ryan's been very underwhelming in camp. It just seems like there's multiple notes on him getting turned around and you know, just kind of getting abused. And he got in the game tonight. He left with an injury. However, he did return. Rob Domofsky did say that he returned to the game. So, seems to be healthy in that regard, but at the same time, man, every time you turn around, Jacob, it looks like Sean Ryan is on the ground. And of the entire draft night, right, when Sean Ryan was taken, I feel like that was the most exciting offensive line pick of the night. And now looking back, it's kind of like, okay, well, Zach Tom seems to be kind of, you know, showing something, right? So mm-hmm. What did you think? What do you think about Sean Ryan? Obviously, you're not going to cut him, being a little bit higher of a pick, but it's just been disappointing.
I don't know. Just because in years previous, I would never think of cutting that type of offensive lineman, but seeing how he's been kind of thrown around throughout the training camp, and I'm intrigued by the couple of the other Giants that we have. We talked about. I believe it's Caleb Jones. He's like 6'10 or something like that. Like sitting down, you can literally see him like eclipsing the other players. Mm-hmm. You got guys like Rashid Walker where, you know, let's see what they can do. Honestly, I've said it before. I'm still a little bit worried about our offensive line. Seeing this game against a 49ers defensive front where I think that they actually did come out to play. They probably wanted to thump us more than I think that we got. So I'm impressed, honestly. I'm not gonna sit here and say that our offensive line was trash. I wish we could have done a lot more in the running game, but you guys have to remember that this is our patched together offensive line going against their presumptual first and a half line defense, probably second line defense, and even their second line defense guy or their second string defense is the 49ers defensive line. They're very, very well formed. And they're good players. So,
yeah.
The fact that we had a decent night, I honestly, this whole night, the fact that it's 21-28, I look at that as a win. If you look back at Packers preseason games, guys, we usually get blown out. We don't use this. Packers coaches don't care about whether or not we're going to lose. They want to see where their guys are, what they're doing, how progressed they are. So, I'm not too worried, to be honest. As long as we get Bach back and we get Elton back and somewhat of a fast schedule, I don't care anymore. I'm not too worried, but we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like the offensive line held up pretty well. And Jordan Love, one thing
they did all right.
And one thing that stood out to me about Jordan Love, he was standing in the pocket. Now, he showed some mobility, but he did step up in that pocket, and he stood strong. That's a good sign. Well, Coach Matt LaFleur was at the podium just a second ago. Let's dip in here and take a listen and see what Coach LaFleur had to say when he met with the media.
Operation, it was a smooth operation, and I thought he got us in and out of the huddle extremely crisp and with urgency. I thought he made some off-schedule plays. He showed some nice athleticism on a couple of those runs as well. And so there was a lot of good things out there from Jordan. Just the poise that he showed in the pocket, that's something that we were looking at. And, overall, I thought just the process of everything, I thought it was a pretty good first step for him.
And how much do those three picks do detract from the good things that he did, though?
Well, I think two of those you can totally take off of. The third one, again, we had two busted routes because the ball really shouldn't have gone there on that play. But he had nowhere else to go to the football, and he forced it in there. And, the defender made a good play. But, we just got to clean up everything around him. A lot of times, we say it all the time about quarterbacks. They're going to get too much credit when we do well, and they're going to get a lot of the blame when we don't. And that's just the reality of playing that position in this league. And but I was pleased with Jordan's performance.
Line played in front of him and then later Danny.
Yeah, our offensive line did a much better job. I thought they held up really nicely throughout the course of the games. Certainly, it wasn't perfect. There were a couple of runs that I think that we could have blocked up a little bit better. But by and large, I thought they did a nice job. I was really happy with the effort the guys gave. Really, in every phase, I thought the guys were competing, playing with great urgency, playing with great effort, playing together. Nobody was kind of making up their own stuff out there, which tends to happen sometimes when you get your first exposure in a NFL football game, a preseason game. And so I thought by and large, the guys did a nice job.
What do you think of the touchdown with all the doubts and just being able to actually carry that over from Romeo?
Yeah, that was a great moment. Played man coverage, and he went off the line of scrimmage, and it was one of those where he went so big, it's like you don't want to miss the layup. And Jordan did a nice job of giving him a catchable ball, and Romeo finished it.
All right, so again, he's talking about that release that we were just talking about, Jacob, and it's pretty cool, man. I mean, you're talking about a rookie stepping right in. And like you said, we seen it on the replay. It was zero coverage. There was no help over the top. It was just – I kind of feel like you've seen that on both sides to a certain extent. You didn't see that typical Coach Barry cover four, right? So I think what happens in these preseason games is much like the joint practices. The two coaches come together and they make an agreement and say, all right, look, here, let's put our players in a position where they can actually compete tonight rather than, hey, let's see who can win the game. And it kind of felt like that across the board, but it's pretty cool that Coach LaFleur noticed that with Romeo Doubs beating him off the line. And that's the thing. The more footage you see on Doubs, you start to see what he does good and what he does bad. And that release is looking pretty good, man. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, man. I think at this point it's safe to say that it's not a fluke. We've studied Bears fans, we've studied Lions fans, even Vikings fans, where they go off on a guy because he had two or three days in practice, and they're like, man, he's the next coming, And we've even tried – Ryan makes sure that we tamp ourselves down from that expectation. So if we ever get hyped up on a guy, Ryan comes in the next podcast, and he's like, here's why he sucks.
Beats us down, right?
Yeah.
Like little orphan Annie over here.
Exactly. So he – and even he – has now been, I think, converted into being a believer. And tonight, again, we saw something that we don't necessarily love. Romeo Doubs can make a great play where he's turning over the back of his shoulder. He's grabbing it. He's getting his feet in line. And then when you're 5 feet in front of him, he can drop a ball that's right in front of you. That's kind of right. Something that's been tailored to him. But, and again, you look at the fact that he was only – caught three balls after being targeted seven times, I believe. I'm not going to necessarily put that on Doubs, but there are certain catches that he should have made, and I think he can make. And I think that Lazard and Watkins, and whenever Watson gets back, the fact that we have Dobbs, the fact that we possibly could have Torrey or a Winfrey or obviously a Cobb and Rodgers, we do not have a non-deep, we don't have a shallow wide receiver corpse. We have anything, an overly deep wide receiver corpse that does not understand where they align. We don't know where, who's the head, who's the alpha, who's the beta. We don't understand that yet because we haven't been put to the fire. And I think that tonight we took a step in that direction, but we obviously don't know exactly what we have because their starters aren't there. So it's just taken a little bit of a piece of what we could be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's very well said. We had Jordan Love at the podium just a second ago. So let's go live there. And see what QB one of the not had to say. I didn't hear that. I probably don't want to hear it. Here we go. No, here's Jordan Love.
But other than that, I think we were moving the ball great. Got in some scoring positions.
I know you don't want to throw any of your teammates under the bus, but do you feel, this could have been a.
Hold up. I know you don't want to throw any of your teammates under the bus, but here.
I know you didn't kill your wife. How'd she die?
A better night for you if just a couple of those catches are made?
Yeah, I think for everybody, it could have been a better night. The ball just, happens. It bounces, a weird way. They capitalized on those. I think obviously no one wants that to happen, and it sucks when it does.
The game action means how much more to you than practice, or not much more to you
than practice. Can you say that again?
It means how much more to you than the practice work.
I think the game action means a lot. Just being able to get those reps, seeing different looks on the defense, and just going against different guys. It's the intensity is a little bit higher, I think the game action is a lot better than practice.
On the third interception, Coach LaFleur said that a couple guys ran the wrong route. You kind of only had one choice to get it to Amari. Can you just kind of take us through what happened there and what you saw?
We ran a play. Amari kind of had a two-way go on the read, and they played too high. It's one of those things we weren't really expecting them to play much too high. It's one of those things just got the wrong read on it. The route he ran, the ball is still behind him, able for the defender to undercut it. It's just something that you don't want to happen, but it's just something to learn from.
That was that very play that we were talking about, Jacob. You heard him. Yep. He said he wasn't expecting him to play two man under, right? Two man read. And when he snapped the ball on a two man under in that specific situation, you had the DB playing that inside technique, basically saying, okay, we're going to take the short underneath route away. You're going to have to play either outside the numbers, and you're darn sure not going to go up top. And as soon as we seen the replay, we called it out. We were like, wow, yeah, he didn't even go through a progression. It was obviously a pre-snap misread, and he just tried to hammer it into Amari. And like he said, it was a bad ball anyway, but a bad decision all the way around. So, again, though, Jordan Love, man, this is what's great about the preseason. Give me more of it. I want to see him again next week.
Yeah.
I want to see what we got. So, as we get ready to wrap up here, any parting thoughts before we give away our Monday Night Football Packers?
I forgot about that.
Right. We're giving away our indoor club seat tonight with a VIP tailgate party pass. One lucky listener is going to be going to a Packer game with us. Like I said, December 19th, but we're going to be indoors, living the good life on top of Lambeau Field up there, watching some football. But before we get to that, any parting comments here before we wrap up?
Man, I'm so happy to be back with Packers football, to be back with all the guys, and it's just it's fun. It's so fun. We got a lot of things in the mix, guys. A lot of things that you may not expect. Some big deals kind of stuff, and maybe some future podcast stuff that we got going on. And hopefully we get to the point where we start interviewing players, because I think that we're on that caliber. We're getting there. We're about to get there. And just stay tuned, because we have a lot of good stuff coming. Like, it's it's almost like drinking from a fire hose. We have a lot of stuff coming really fast, and we're trying to, you know, maintain it all. So,
right.
I don't know, Clayton, what else we got?
Well, first of all, I just want to say this was kind of a trial run for our post game show. We're going to do this all year. And there was already some hiccups in this, and we're going to iron them out and get better as we move forward. So when week one gets here, we're going to have you guys an awesome product. I know there's many people that are listening to this right now on a podcast as well. And that's the goal. This is going to be something that you could tune in live immediately following the game, but then you can also catch it on a pod the next day or late tonight if you're still up. You know, if you sober up, wake up on the couch at 3 a.m. and want to listen to something, you know what I mean? We'll have you a pod to listen to. But with that being said, man, let's do a little giveaway here. I'm going to share the screen and show you guys how we have this set up. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone who entered the giveaway. All right. So let's go ahead and share this. And I know this is boring on the pod probably because you can't see it. But what we have here, we ended up having 540 entries, gang. Wow. 540, okay? And, you know, we had a GoFundMe attached to help Drew get his seizure service dog. And you guys showed up big time, man. And as you're looking at this wheel, for those of you who are watching online, just to kind of give you an idea, you can see these big colors right here. These are the large donations. We had I'm gonna list some of these large donations off because we really, really, really appreciate it. You had Carol Horton, who donated $500 to Drew's seizure service dog. You had Seth Reuter, who also donated $500. I mean, that absolutely blows me away. You had Oscar Cardona, who had $400. Then you had Eric Spiegel with $250. You had Matt Comstock at $100. And then you have Brian, I'm probably going to mess up the name, Peachowit, at $100. So I wanted to name drop you guys because those were the donations over $100. This giveaway, I know you guys didn't donate $500 to win a ticket, although you've given yourself a great chance to win it. I know that you did it because you wanted to help out Drew, and we truly, truly appreciate it. And there's going to be other giveaways. We've already got other giveaways in the works. But this was a fun one to do. Again, I purchased the ticket. It's $500 in value. And then you have the VIP tailgate party pass. That's actually $75 in value. So as you look at this wheel, you see the heavy hitters. You also got some smaller donations. And then you've got down here the Twitter entry or the Twitter entries right here. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to go up here and sort this. Actually, we're going to shuffle this. Okay. So now what it's going to do is evenly distribute these. All right. Again, 540 entries. So what we're going to do is let's go ahead and spin the wheel. And the winner of the Monday Night Football giveaway, Packers Rams at Lambeau, is Mr. Seth Reuter. Holler donation.
Ooh, I think I know that name.
Yeah, he's on Twitter.
That's been a follower.
Yeah, had a little bit of. Yeah, he donated $500. Man, he is on this wheel many times.
That's a heavy hitter there.
So congratulations to Mr. Seth Reuter. You are the winner of our Monday Night Football giveaway. We will see you at Lambeau, December 19th, Packers Rams. But as a formality, what we need to do here is spin it one more time, and let's get a backup winner in case we can't find Mr. Seth Reuter. So we have a winner there. So let's spin the wheel one more time.
Yeah.
So that's at LaCrema, I guess. LaCrema. At LaCrema. So those are the names that were drawn. So again, congratulations to Seth Reuter. We'll be reaching out to you and getting those tickets transferred over to you. And again, the backup winner is LaCrema. Jacob, that's the lucky listener that may be going to the game with us. Again, what I wanted to point out, you know, some people are at a distance. They might not be able to make the trip. The ticket's yours. You can resell it. You can do whatever you want. Shouldn't have any issue getting 500 bones out of it because that's a real.
Or you can come hang out with us and have a ton of fun.
Exactly.
Probably too much fun.
Hopefully it's somebody who's local that can actually join us, because we're going to have a blast, man. It's going to be awesome. Great. It's going to be great. So there you have it. With that, we're going to go ahead and sign off, get out of here. Thank you guys for hanging out the post-game show. We're going to be doing this. Like I said, we'll be back next week, and we're gonna make it a little bit better each time. We'll get better each time. You guys just be patient with us, and really, really appreciate y'all tuning in. Y'all have a good night. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world, and go Pack, go.